The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we are all abuzz about last night's Monday Night Football clash between the Rams and the Chiefs. We'll have top five and bottom five coming in this hour, and how does it shake up? This was one of the instant classics that we get in sports sometimes where, again, the last thing we saw is the best thing we saw, but this game had so many unique elements to it. In terms of the excellence, in terms of the offense, but it also had its share of turnovers, had its share of sloppy plays, it had its shares of missed assignments, had its shares of referees scratching their heads in terms of some of the calls that were made. Now, I think that's what makes this kind of game special. It wasn't a display of excellence. There was obviously a lack of defense in this game. But the reality of it is, it was entertaining from start to finish. But because it also had so many blemishes, I think that's what adds to the beauty of the game. And I'm not trying to get poetic here, and I'm not trying to get all Hallmarkish. But I think that is true in this case, is that a lot of times when we talk about great matchups, right, great quarterbacks, a Elway-Montana battle or something else along those lines, yeah, we get into the beauty of that or we get into the excellence of that. But this game in particular had a lot of questionable decisions, mistakes made by Patrick Mahomes. Jared Goff made a few mistakes. But that's great because that's part of it. At the end of the game, when Sean McVay, staying to his aggressive nature, continued to throw the ball, even though running the ball would eat up more time. And that's just the way he is. And that's just the way he's going to do it. And his team wasn't getting stopped. So why would he continue to not do what was working to end the game as quickly as he can? Those are the kind of things that this game had, where in the final 2 minutes or the final 2.5 minutes, the Chiefs had the ball twice to try to get 3 points to tie the game. Again, it comes with some deficiencies, but it comes with excellence too. And I think that's what makes this game classic. I said this in hour one, that we remember Monday Night Football for all so many great moments, right? So many important moments, sometimes infamous moments, not even on the good side. But this game, this entire game was a moment that you can't really take one or two things out of. This whole game for 60 minutes was a moment. So we'll talk more about that coming up. But we have top five, bottom five to get to, because now we got to figure out, what do we do with all this? That's next, SB Nation Radio.
Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting.
Kane is in the building.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We do top five, bottom five. This is where we tell you who is hot and who is not in the National Football League. So we start with the good. Are you ready, Ron Culver?
Hit me.
Let's go with number five. I have not had this team in my top five all year long, but I'm going to put them there now. I don't know how long they stay, but I'm putting the Chicago Bears at number five.
Wow.
Great performance last Sunday night against the Minnesota Vikings. Khalil Mack is fantastic. They are. This is what you and I said. They are 7-3, kind of a quiet 7-3, but man, I liked watching them. And I think because the Patriots are on a bye and I sort of totally forgot about them because their last outing was against the Tennessee Titans in a kind of a hopeless game in which they just got beat up from top to bottom. I like the Bears. They're surging again. I don't know how long I'm going to keep them there, but it's 7-3. I got them at number five.
I think I snuck a peek at your top five today.
Oh, okay.
It's because I did the same exact thing. I put the Bears there.
Yeah.
You know what? It was a gritty game for the Bears. It was against a division opponent, a decent division opponent, even though they're not, you know, the Vikings aren't who they were last year. You know, there's been a lot of changes, but still, I mean, you have to be able to win no matter who you're facing up against. And the Bears just keep finding ways. That defense is what is carrying me through. That
yeah,
one,
it is good.
They are fun to watch.
They are fun. That defense is really good.
And so,
really
yeah, good. You know what? I haven't had them there all season long. It pained me that, you know, I had to knock the Chargers out of my top five. But, you know, the Chargers don't deserve to be in the top five this week. So, yeah, the Bears get the nod.
All right, number four on my list. I'm putting the Pittsburgh Steelers. I did not like the way they played against Jacksonville. I almost kept them out for that reason. I wasn't going to put them at five. I wasn't going to put the Bears at four. And something about the Patriots I wanted to keep out. I just left the Steelers in. They did win the game.
You wanted to keep the Patriots out.
Yeah, I did want to keep the Patriots out.
That's what it is.
I did the same thing. I didn't like the way the Steelers played for three quarters of the game. I liked the way they played the fourth quarter. But, again, Jacksonville seems to have their number for a bit. I was surprised the Jags didn't pull that out because the Steelers always have trouble with Jacksonville, even when Jacksonville was pathetic. But, you know, they got the win. It's 6 in a row now. They're 7-2-1. So I may not have liked it. And as a fan, it made me nervous because that's not the kind of game that they need going in to the latter part of the season towards the postseason. But they still do a great job offensively when it's clicking, and I'll put them at four.
I did the same thing. I put the Steelers at four. With all the drama that had gone on the previous week with Le'Veon Bell, will he, won't we, and why Le'Veon was shooting hoops in Pittsburgh,
have no idea why.
No idea why you even made. Why'd you even leave Miami? I mean, the weather is miserable in Pittsburgh this time of the year.
I don't know why you would leave Miami to just go troll Steeler fans to, you know, but not, I mean, even wanting to play.
They're to me, it's like I had to put them at four. They deserve to be in the top five. I don't feel the Bears are four quality yet. I don't even know if I feel the Steelers are four quality. But the fact of the matter is that they took care of business. They found a way to win a game against a team that they somehow, I don't know if it's played down to the Jaguars level.
Yeah,
or
it
that
was.
The Jaguars just played up for three quarters and then said, oh, no, we're the Jaguars. Let's play like how we normally do in the fourth quarter. I'm not sure what the reasoning was. But it was, you know, the Steelers did it. The Steelers took care of their business. And that's why they're number four.
All right, number three, the team that lost last night. I'm putting Kansas City there only because they lost. Had they won, they would have been higher. The Chiefs are, they're every bit as good as we saw last night. No loss, two losses on the season, and both very respectable losses. I mean, just that kid plays tough. He fights back. So the Chiefs are three.
Ditto.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't know what more we can say about the Chiefs. I mean, everything we know about the Chiefs we saw last night. I mean, their defense is not that great, but it doesn't matter when you have a – can we call him a rookie quarterback? I don't know if we – I mean, technically,
yeah,
we know he's not.
Yeah, technically not, but I get what you're getting. One start last year doesn't mean you're
you don't have a rookie card on you anymore. But
you know, it does matter. You're right. I mean, coming in and being a backup and coming in for a situation is completely different than starting the season in camp going, this is my job now. Like preparing as a backup, preparing as a starter is supposed to be the same thing, but it's not the same thing.
It's not. It's not. He has more added pressure on him now than he ever had before. And
right.
He has carried that pressure perfectly. I mean, we're sitting here. We were joking last week, like, oh, come on, Hines. You know, there's no way he's going to get to 57. Now we're sitting there going, Man.
Catch up for life, man.
You know, that was six touchdowns against, you know, the Rams. And
yeah, I mean,
57 becomes more of a reality. It's like, oh, why stop there? Why not go for 60?
Yeah.
Go Babe Ruth on this thing.
Number two on my list, the Rams. Good win last night. Fun game. Exciting game. Great crowd. Great noise. Jared Goff. You know who came out as a loser last night was Jeff Fisher. Did you hear how many people criticized Jeff Fisher in the broadcast last night? They did it in the post-game show. They did it in the game. They brought up Jeff Fisher, I want to say, about three times, just reminding people that at one time, Jared Goff was going to bust out as a quarterback because he had to hitch his wagon to that loser. I mean, give me a break. Good for people pointing out that at one time Jared Goff was going to be a bust in the NFL because his head coach didn't know what to do with him. Thank you, Sean McVay, for unveiling the talent that is Jared Goff.
I mean, how amazing is that to think that, you know, we what was it, 2 years ago, we were all really sitting there like, oh, man, the Rams messed up. Jared Goff is a bust.
Oh, Jared Goff ain't going to be able to play in this league. The only reason why for that
was because Carson Wentz was playing like how we expected him to play.
Exactly. Exactly right.
I'm watching last night. I'm going, you know what? I think I'd rather have Jared Goff under center.
He's incredible. He's incredible.
I mean, the guy had no quit last night. There were so many times in this game where it was just like, you know what? We just can't keep up. We just can't keep doing what we're doing. We can't keep this intensity. I mean, after that game last night, I was exhausted.
I was exhausted. And you know what was great about it is that Jared Goff, who could have easily got caught up in all of the drama and all the excitement, kept it real about bringing up the tragedies in LA, you know, all of that, kept it in perspective, really showed some maturity. I loved that about him. That was great. That was absolutely great.
And for that reason, I have the Rams as number two as well.
So number one, that's the Saints. You know what? The team that beat the Rams and the team that's won nine in a row and the team that's averaging four touchdowns a game. Actually, I should say 4.5. It's 4.4 touchdowns a game. I saw that stat and I was blown away by it. They're not slowing down. And the great thing about the Saints is it's not like Drew Brees is chucking 35 touchdowns this year, right? He's got a running game that's putting up touchdowns on the ground. He's throwing touchdowns. The defense is a lot better. This is a different Saints team than we saw in years past that will beat you like 42-38. They don't have to do that anymore. Their defense will shut you down, too. They look magnificent. Look, the Eagles have their own problems. I get it. But they dismantled the Eagles. The Eagles were not prepared for that game. They dismantled them and pushed them aside just like they did with Cincinnati the week before.
No, they have. And they have established a running game, which is something the Saints have never had. And I think what makes the Saints the number one team as well on my list is the fact that their defense has been getting stronger and stronger week in and week out. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, yes, I mean, the Eagles are missing a bunch of players, especially on defense for the Eagles. But their offense is somewhat similar to what it was last year. I know they missed Jay Ajayi, and they're kind of...
But still, they got Carson Wentz. I mean, still,
yeah,
you know.
And they picked up a good receiver in Golden Tate.
Yep, they did.
So the Saints were able to shut down those guys. That's what really makes it scary and it almost derails the dream you and I have now of a Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's very true. Very true. That's Saints-Rams. If that gets to the NFC Championship game.
Oh, that's got to be.
Holy cow.
I mean, the NFL, you know what? I know you can't fix games. I know you can't maneuver things the right way. But if you can make the NFC Conference or the NFC Championship Rams-Saints and then have the Rams win that one in a close one and then go on to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, the NFL, no one can say that the NFL is dying.
There better not be a New England Patriots circa 1985 kicking around this league.
No,
where there's
please.
Some weak wild card team finds somehow to beat the Saints at the Superdome. Be like, I don't know how we did it, but we did it. Nobody believed in us. We shocked the world. I'll be like, oh, great.
Yeah, great. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at you, Dallas. Okay. All right, we'll get to the bottom five of the league coming up next. That's really fun. That is next on SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. There's nothing worse than driving along and seeing your check engine light come on. The do-it-yourselfers, they can't help themselves. They really can't. They go out and buy a cheap code reader, check the code, and start replacing parts. And there's always a parts guy ready to take your money. And that sometimes works. Like being sick, Googling your symptoms, and heading to the store for drugs. The key word is sometimes. Many times that information just tells you the sensor causing the code, and you have to go further in the data stream for the root cause. Had a friend that replaced a $1,000 catalytic converter when he only needed to do an injector cleaning. Having a relationship with a shop that you trust is like knowing a doctor that's really good and always takes care of you. If you want to work on your own car, that's great, but learn your limits. Now that is a great way to save you money. Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels are brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
It's the Jeep Black Friday sales event, the perfect time to get great deals all month long on capable Jeep brand vehicles. But why limit yourself to a white Christmas when you can take in breathtaking red rocks with Jeep Cherokee's available legendary 4x4 capability? Head towards blue waters with Jeep Compass's innovative technology and connectivity. Check out a shimmering light show in Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Or make it a white one through snow-covered hills in Jeep Wrangler, the most capable Wrangler ever. Hurry into the Jeep Black Friday sales event for great deals all month long and make your next adventure the most colorful ever. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, now it's time for bottom five, the worst teams in the NFL after going through the top five in the last segment. But before we get to that, another reminder that you don't want to miss the five-day sale that's happening this Black Friday through November 27th at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts. During these 5 days only, O'Reilly Auto Parts will offer incredible sale prices on products your vehicle uses every day. So stock up and save big on maintenance chemicals, motor oil, wiper blades, tool sets, and more. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, we're going to start with 28, moving our way up to 32 in our bottom five rankings. Now, here's the deal. 28... I was kind of tossing some teams around. I put the San Francisco 49ers at 28. Now, I could have put them anywhere in the bottom five. They're not a very good team. But here's the deal. I actually like Nick Mullins. And I think they're better. You know, this is a better backup than C.J. Beathard with Nick Mullins. And he's kind of exciting. And they're going to stick with him. And I like that. And I think they're going to beat the Buccaneers when they go on the road. They should have beat the Giants, but they didn't. Eli Manning had some heroics. But Mullins was good in that game too. So I like Nick Mullins. I didn't want to bury him in the bottom five. They need to be in the bottom five. So I put him in the only place that I could without burying him down the line.
All right, this is getting scary.
Okay.
Because I put the Niners at 28 as well. And for literally for all the same reasons. I mean, listen, there's three teams that were easy for me to put in the bottom five. In fact, I have, you know, four were really no-brainers to me to put in the bottom five. I struggled with this one, the 28th spot. It was like there was a couple of different teams I could have gone, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to give this team the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give that team the benefit of the doubt this week. And it was just, you know, unfortunately, the Niners were on bye, so we didn't really get to see them do anything. But, yeah, I like Nick Mullins as well. And, you know, next week's game should be somewhat entertaining. I mean, it's not going to be a great game. It's definitely not going to, you know, it's on one end of the scale. If you have Rams, Chiefs, this is way, way on the other end of the scale.
Oh, yes. This is
but it's going to show us something.
Yeah.
I just have that feeling it's going to show us something about the two teams that are playing.
All right. So since we've copied the last six picks, I'm going to let you lead with number 29. So go ahead.
All right. 29, I have the Buccaneers.
Ah, very good. Well done. I did not go there. Go ahead.
Finally. No, I put the Buccaneers there. They have a quarterback issue. I mean, how many times?
They really do. They really, really do.
I mean, I got the alert yesterday on my phone. Hey, James Winston's going to be the starter next week. And it's like, you know what? Are these teams just recycling news reports now? They just throw them out there like, hey, this week let's make it Fitzpatrick. This week let's make it Winston. They have no identity at the quarterback position at all. And for me, at this point, it's like, you know what? Get rid of both of them. Start over.
Oh, go find your new quarterback, Tampa. Exactly. Go find your new quarterback. Because you're going to be in a position to do so.
Yeah.
Number 29 for me, I put the Bills, and because they're 3-7. And even though they beat the Jets and beat the Jets handedly with Matt Barkley, they're going back to Josh Allen at quarterback, which is fine. I mean, he's their future. Good luck. They're going to take on another awful team in Jacksonville. But when you look at the numbers, they don't run the ball well and they don't throw the ball well. What do they do well? At least, you know, look, they can't score. They can't run. They can't. They're averaging 13.5 points per game, and they scored 41 against the Jets. I mean, they had a game in which they had a loss in which they scored 5. They had a loss in which they scored 6. They had a loss in which they scored 9. A loss in which they scored 0. A loss when they scored 3. Is there a 7 in there? An 8 coming? I mean, they're going to get all of the single digits eventually by the time we get to the end of the season? I mean, God, can you get a 1 in the National Football League? You can't, so you have to take that off the board. So there's 8 single digits that you can get, and they have 5 different ones. Let's go for it, Buffalo. Get a safety and then just stop scoring like you always do. 29 is the Bills.
Number 30 for me, I put the Jets.
Ah,
this team, I mean, you know, they're doing the problem with the Jets is they're doing exactly what we thought they were going to do this year.
Yeah, they did.
They have a rookie quarterback. It's not their fault. They need to get a new head coach. They need to get a coach that could actually lead this team. Bowles is definitely not it. And so, in a way, it's like I don't want to fault the Jets for being so low on the totem pole, but I'm not sure how long Sam Darnold's going to be out, but that's why they're going to be so low right now. I mean, the good thing for them is, hey, they're going to get a decent draft pick next year. You know, maybe go find a good weapon for Darnold. Find a pass catching running back for Darnold. I think that's one thing they definitely need.
I put the Jets there as well, and this was starting to be a pretty good-looking season for the Jets early, and it looked like they're not going to win 10 games, but they're not going to lose 14 of them. But, you know, they're 3-7, and they've lost 4 in a row, and they've looked bad doing it. Bowles is going to be out. You're right. They better find the right coach, because this is what happens with young quarterbacks in this league. They're with the wrong guy, Jeff Fisher. And then they end up getting lost in the shuffle, and their full potential isn't realized, Jeff Fisher. So here's the deal with Sam Darnold. Make sure you hire a coach that can do that, not Jeff Fisher. So the Jets at 3-7, and because they lost to the Bills, get put in the top 5 behind them. So they're 30 for me, too.
You know, and the Jets, actually, they're in a favorable position, because if all the reports are true, they'll get Le'Veon on Bell next year.
Yeah, that's
whether
true.
You
that's,
want that headache or
right.
Not.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you better have a good contract coming before you even bring him in the building, before he goes works out at a Planet Fitness near, you know, MetLife Stadium or whatever.
Oh, and and after what happened to Alex Smith, Le'Veon Bell's like, I'm not even going to look at a football until you can guarantee me $45 million.
I need to see contract first.
I'm not even going to touch a football. Are you kidding me? No way. Not after that one.
Number 31, I have the Raiders. And it pains me to put them not at the bottom, just because I feel that they are the worst team in the league. But I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because they did win last week.
All the same reasons I put Oakland at 31. Yeah, I hated it. I hated writing Oakland at 31. I wanted so badly to put them at the bottom, but, you know, they found a way to win.
They found a
well
way to win,
done.
And that just, you know, I mean, my 32 team is the Cardinals, and I like the Cardinals better than the Raiders, but, hey, if you lose to the worst team in the league, you don't deserve to be anywhere but the worst team in the league.
Yep, Arizona is the worst team in the NFL right now, and they did so because they lost. All you had to do was beat Oakland. Is that too much to ask?
Which seems
just beat Oakland.
I mean, it seems easy to do.
Yes, they're giving the games away.
Yeah.
They're handing the games to you.
Raiders are getting rid of players mid-game.
Yes.
And Cardinals.
Badly.
You know what? I mean, I'll put this on the Cardinals as well. They could have probably worked out a trade during the game.
They could have, right.
And just sat there on the sidelines like, you know, what's Derek Carr up to? I mean, I know we have Josh Rosen, but we're not too sure about him. You know, what do you give me? And we could have had a trade mid-game. That would have been fantastic.
I like outside of Josh Rosen, Larry Fitzgerald, and David Johnson, I barely know this team. I don't want to watch them when they're on TV. I don't want to cover them. I don't want to follow them. I don't want to look. I don't want to get any details on them. I don't know. Again, Josh Rosen, I hope he turns into a fine young quarterback in this league. I liked him in college. I thought he had some moxie. I thought, there was things I liked about him. I hope he has a nice career, but this team's a mess.
Yeah, and obviously, Fitzgerald, first ballot Hall of Famer. David Johnson, most underused player in the NFL.
Yep, exactly. Absolutely. But lose to the Chiefs, fine. Lose to the Broncos, even fine. But lose to the Raiders, come on, man. You know better than that.
Yeah.
You could have given games away.
Yeah, Gruden doesn't care. Gruden's playing for a draft pick.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, you just moved me down to fourth.
Yeah,
third.
Gruden's not happy with the win. That was a fake smile at the end of the game, at the game, running onto the field, cheering and smacking high fives. The chemistry between Gruden and Carr couldn't be any worse than any other chemistry I've ever seen.
I agree completely.
It just feels
they're
going
to do that all season long. They yell each other all season long.
Just feels like these guys are just going to. They're just going to keep picking at each other when it gets to the end of the season. Carr is out. And I think Carr knows it.
All right, there's our top five and our bottom five for week number 11 in the National Football League. Your thoughts as well, 800-777-2907 or on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Coming up next, a suspension in the SEC. Oh, that has me going, what next?
Every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us here on SB Nation AM. Watch Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson battle for a winner-take-all $9 million match at Capital One The Match. See it on BR.live and pay-per-view November 23rd, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. That is at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. $9 million, winner take all, Tiger versus Phil. All right, so the SEC, Arkansas is terrible. They are 0-7 in conference play. They're under new head coach Chad Morris. He hopes to turn it around, but you know. So he's playing Missouri this weekend. It is the borderline war. It's not an old rivalry, but it'll do. So they're playing Drew Locke, who has 25 touchdowns this season, I believe. One of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. And Arkansas is still looking for their first conference win, has suspended two of their defensive backs, Cameron Curl and Ryan Pulley. All right, so, yeah, the team's not very good, but both of them have 20 starts this season, and, they're starters. I mean, they're not scrubs, they're starters. So they're going to go with a weakened secondary looking for that first conference win. Now, why did Chad Morris suspend these two players? Was it because they cheated on a test? No. Banned substance? No. Did they skip practice? No. Did they get arrested for anything? No. Just keep naming all of the reasons why college athletes get suspended. And you'll come up with every one you can think of, right? Drugs? Nope. Alcohol abuse? Nope. Hazing. Nope. Keep going. Just keep thinking of them. Nope, 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 nope. For the first time in my life, two players have been suspended for a college football game that at least I heard of because they picked up a couple of chicks on the road at Mississippi State. They were fraternizing with the dance team of the Mississippi State Bulldogs before the kickoff on Saturday. They were taking pictures and trying to get some numbers of some girls that were on the spirit squad for Mississippi State. Arkansas lost that game 52-6. And because they were seen fraternizing with not the players of Mississippi State, like hanging out, hey, guy, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, I remember you. Oh, yeah, we used to play football together back in Florida, whatever. No, not that. Just see some pretty girls, go over there to say hi, try to see if you can get some digits. They tried to get some digits. I don't know if they were successful or not. It doesn't matter because now they can't play against Missouri on a Friday night in the borderline rivalry. Apparently a big game for Arkansas. Well, first time in my life I ever heard two players or a player get suspended because they were trying to get a date. Little odd, but Chad Morris must have been so angry at the 52-6 blasting by Mississippi State that he had to take it out on somebody. And then when word got out that these two guys were trying to score some digits, he just took it out on them. Well done, Chad Morris. Well done.
So is the coaching staff, are they related to the Bash brothers from the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah, why?
So I'm bringing this up because, I mean, the Bash brothers from the Mighty Ducks tried to pull the same thing on their coach because the coach was fraternizing with the trainer from Iceland.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And if you remember the movie, you know, the Mighty Ducks 2, the trainer from Iceland, she was hot.
Yeah.
You can't blame Coach Bombay for shooting a shot for that one.
I don't blame these two for talking to some Mississippi State Bulldog girls.
It's area code strange for them.
Yes.
That's what you go for.
You think this doesn't go on in college athletics? You're insane. How many times have you seen, a big time quarterback, let's say, right? And then they show a picture of his girlfriend and she's a cheerleader for another team. Happens all the time.
Yeah, they can't all be A.J. McCarron. Well, even A.J. McCarron, wasn't it Catherine Webb? Didn't she go to rival school?
I think so. I think she went to Auburn. But I think she wasn't going at the time. I think she was doing the Miss Alabama thing.
Yeah, that makes it okay.
It happens all the time.
No, I guarantee you that's one of the coach's selling points.
Absolutely.
Say, listen, man, you know what? We're going to be in a lot of different schools over the next couple of years. I don't know if you've ever seen, chicks at different schools.
You know what bothers me about this suspension, though, on a serious note, is that I saw this on Twitter from some old reporter, like some old guy, you know, he covers the SEC. And he said, if these two kids were fraternizing with girls before the game, their hearts weren't in the game. Oh, stop with that nonsense.
That's right.
Stop. You know what? Arkansas stinks. Okay? They're a terrible football team. Stop blaming these kids because your coaching staff doesn't know how to beat Mississippi State or make it close against Mississippi State. Stop blaming these two kids who are going out and they saw some pretty girls. They wanted to talk to them. What else are they playing for? Stop with this that they have to be all in on my program. Come on. They went to talk to some pretty girls. It doesn't mean that they went out in the game and were like, I don't understand. I don't know why these wide receivers are getting behind me. They're getting behind you because the other teams are better than you are. Okay? You're a terrible football team right now. Doesn't mean you're going to be terrible forever.
It wasn't like they walked over there, found the two spirit girls, and go, hey, guys, you know what? We're not doing anything right now. I know there's a game going on, but we can take off from this game. Let's go into the tunnel and just say, what's up?
There's no evidence that they went. Yeah, exactly. There's no evidence that they went on the sidelines and did this. It says they went prior to the game. Now, granted, look, if they were walking towards the stands in the middle of the game and were talking to the girls because they were on the front row or something like that, and they were talking, the coaches were like, hey, where's Curl and Pulley? Where is defense? Oh, and there's, look at those guys. Get them away from those girls. Get over. Get out on the field. Then I get it. I absolutely get it.
Now, I have not read
the game.
I have not read this article. Were they late coming out onto the field?
See, they don't even say that. So there might be more to this than the meets the eye. To me, all I'm reading is before the game, they were trying to score some phone numbers and some pictures with some pretty girls from Mississippi State. And apparently this was enough for Chad Morris to lose his cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, for me, if the rest of the team ran out onto the field and then, you know, coaches looking around like, right, where are they? Where are they? And you know, and then see them, you know, laughing and giggling in the tunnel.
That.
Then I can say, okay, you know what? That would upset me because as a coach,
well,
you know, you want
true.
That. But maybe we just don't know the whole story. But if it's just, hey, these guys, before they even got dressed, they got off the bus, we headed to the locker room, saw the girls practicing, wanted to go over and say, hey, real quick. What is the harm in that? Take a few photos.
Yeah, I got
to.
I'm
college
sure,
kids.
I mean, listen. I'm sure there's more to this than meets the eye, and maybe there's more to this than I don't know. But If there is, it's not being – they're keeping it under wraps.
But a full game?
Yeah, exactly. Not even like a quarter.
Yeah, I can understand a quarter suspension. Like, hey, you can't play the quarter. Like, all right, you know what? Come on, guys. You got to be with your team. It's game day.
Urban Meyer had, like, legitimate criminals on his team that committed crimes, and he would suspend them for two plays. Like, well, you know, here at Florida, we don't tolerate that kind of a – that kind of action, and we've hammered these two. They can't play in the first two series of that game after stealing cars and whatever they were doing. Like, there was all sorts of trouble at Florida.
Maybe Urban Meyer's not a good example in this situation.
Very true. Good point. Chad Morris said, quote, okay, so this, I'm going to give Chad Morris a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here. He said, quote, they will not be here today or yet. Okay, here's what he said. He was asked for the reason for the suspension. He told reporters this, quote, will not be here today or yesterday or any part of this week for unacceptable behavior. Well, I don't know how you can be here yesterday. I don't know how that works unless you've got a time machine.
Yeah, I wasn't here yesterday.
But I wasn't here yet. But any part of this week for unacceptable behavior. Now, what I would love to know if I was a reporter covering the Arkansas Razorbacks is what does unacceptable behavior mean? Like, what does that mean? Because here's the deal. And here's, because you might be protecting the kids, but in a way you're not, because if you throw out unacceptable behavior, what exactly does that mean? Like just don't throw that out without explaining what these kids did. So we can, you know, don't let our imaginations run wild here. Like, what did they do? So I don't know. I mean, it's just, Chad Morris. He's going to be a good coach, I think, at Arkansas. In a couple of years, I think he'll have that turnaround. I like Chad Morris a lot. He did a good job at SMU. He'll turn it around, but I don't know. Got to get one win in the SEC. You got to get one. Missouri is a pretty good football team, but, you know.
Okay, the only other thing I'm reading here is that Morris said in a post-game press conference that he felt how he felt about the two starters was coming back out of the locker room and tried to exchange information with the opposing team's cheerleaders.
Oh, okay. Is that all they did? So, was he giving them, what were they giving them, plays? Did they give them the script? That they should, they say, hey, listen, tell your boys these are the first 30 plays we're going to be running.
No, they're defensive players. They don't know.
They don't care. They don't care. And look, Mississippi State just scored again. Oh, goodness gracious. I don't know. Would girls be interested in Arkansas players, or would they just want to date within their own school?
Well, I'm sure, you know, the talent pool is wide all over, but, you know, everyone wants some area code strange from time to time.
Listen, I remember, I'll never forget covering a Air Force Notre Dame game, right? And I was on the field at the end of the game, and I was trying to get a couple of interviews, like just to get some Notre Dame players on where I was stringing. And I looked over, and I was trying to find Brady Quinn, right? Because I was like, I'll find Brady Quinn. Maybe I'll see him, get him on the radio. And I look and try to find Brady Quinn, and I look over, and he's taking pictures with the Air Force cheerleaders. Like, the girls were lined up to take pictures with Brady Quinn and Jeff Samardzija. Those were the two players that were getting selfies, pictures taken with the cheerleaders for the Air Force Falcons. And I was like, okay, this is
Did he get suspended?
No. At the time, I think Charlie Weiss was still the head coach then. Yeah, I don't think he was like, I'm going to suspend my two star offensive players for talking to the Air Force cheerleaders. So... Oh, God, the SEC kills me.
Hey, these are college kids. They're immature. We can all remember that. And I hate the fact that there are so many people nowadays, like, you know, older people who forget that, hey, in college you did stupid things.
Of course.
And, you know,
exactly.
And yes, there should be repercussions, but, I mean, you're talking about suspending them full games.
I know.
For talking to... the opposite sex.
Yep.
Basically.
Well, the borderline war just got a little less interesting as the Arkansas defensive backs are now suspended. All right. 800-777-2907. Tony D and Ron Culver as we move along. Again, still coming off the Monday night high of last night's game between the Rams and the Chiefs on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us here on SB Nation AM. Rivalry week in college football. Y'all geared up? You ready to go, Ron? For your Apple
I'm ready.
Cup, Egg Bowl, fruit salad bowl, whatever they're giving away in these college football rivalries.
Civil War?
Is that this Civil week? War. Yeah, I think so. Let me, you know what? I'm going to check on that one. That was one of my favorite ones. Oregon and Oregon State. Let me check. I'm going to check right now because that, I think that is on the schedule of games. Yep, Civil War. That's Friday. That's Friday. Let's see. There's the Iron Bowl between Alabama and Auburn. Florida and Florida State don't play for anything. They should call it something catchy. Grapefruit Bowl? No, that's not. That's stupid. what could Florida and Florida State call it? They don't even have anything, but they're playing this weekend, too. South Carolina and Clemson? Yikes. That's going to be fun. Can't wait for that. 63-10 bashing by the Tigers. You know, when I was a student at South Carolina, my first South Carolina-Clemson game, I couldn't wait. Couldn't wait to go. All I heard about was how awesome it was, right? So I get to the stadium, and South Carolina does a entrance to 2001, right? You know, the dramatic music from that movie. And then when it reaches its crescendo, the team runs out on the field. So everybody's all jazzed up. It's on ESPN. Ron Franklin was doing the game. It was just awesome. Just a great atmosphere. South Carolina runs out on the field. Everybody loses their minds. My friends and I are all screaming our heads off. We were out tailgating in the parking lot all out for hours. Clemson won the game 45-0. It was the worst. The whole game was like, it was terrible. It was terrible. I went to, I've only been to like two games in which South Carolina won against Clemson. All the other games that I found my way to, Clemson's found their way to victories. It's been pretty bad over the last couple of years. All right, 800-777-2907. We're going to get into the Monday Night Football game coming up next hour. I want to kind of revisit some of the better moments on Monday Night Football because there's a lot of talk about where this fits in. And like I said earlier, there's been great moments in Monday Night Football history or infamous moments in Monday Night Football history. But this game was an entire thing. This game was an entire moment between the Chiefs and the Rams. It was good from start to finish. There wasn't an isolated thing that you take out of it and you say, oh, remember where you were when that happened? That was a 3.5 hour, you know, 3 hour ordeal that now actually went longer than that. It was about 3.5 hours last night that deserved every bit of hype that it got. I mean, it was awesome. It was rarely do games live up beyond the hype you give it. We overhype this game. We always overhype stuff like this. And then you go, okay, it was awesome, but it wasn't as awesome as we thought it was. Now, this exceeded the expectations. And again, 54-51. You just don't get NFL games like that. So we'll talk some more about some of the better moments on Monday Night Football, where it all fits in. That is coming up next. And next hour, it is Tony D and Ron Culver, and this is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.